evening, and you're very welcome along to our Life and Times programme here in Midlands 103. In this evening's programme, we're delighted to welcome a lady from, is it originally Banshee, Louise Morrissey?
Yes.
Banshee and County Tipperary.
That's right.
Do many people know where Banshee is?
I think a lot of people do, because it's on the main Limerick-Waterford road, so if you're travelling that direction at all, you have to pass through Banshee.
I'm from Mitchelstown, and I remember my father bringing me down to Banshee to matches, because it's not that far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
That's
think.
Right, yeah, sure, we'd be very near each other. Little over 20 miles.
That's all.
Yeah.
Louise, where is the home place in Banshee? Is it in the village or is it outside?
No, we're from outside the village. We're about a half a mile out of the village and we're farming people.
Big farmers or small farmers?
Well, kind of in between.
Medium farmers.
Yes, medium farmers.
Who's daddy?
My father was Jackie Morrissey. He was one of six children himself who came from Banshee themselves for a couple of generations.
What was he like?
He was lovely. Yeah, sadly, this year will be his 15th anniversary. He died 15 years ago. He was a lovely man. He was a great father. He was a real gentleman. Full of fun, and we had a lovely time and a lovely childhood with him.
And did he go far for a wife?
He didn't go far at all. He married a Banshee woman.
And her name?
A local woman. My mum was Angela Boland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bolands were in Banshee for generations as well, who were also of farming background as well. So
I know that, slipping up to the modern day for a moment, you still very much have your Tipperary roots, and the family are living quite close.
Oh yeah, all my family still live in Tipperary, like all my brothers and sisters, a lot of my aunts and uncles, a few have emigrated, you know, to America, and a few have emigrated to
How many were in the family?
In my own family?
Yes.
Yeah, my immediate family. I'm one of six. Three boys and three girls.
Start at the top.
Right. My sister Noreen is the eldest.
Okay. And where is she?
And she lives in Ballycarran, which is about 3 miles out of Banshee.
Okay.
My sister Marie is next in line, and Marie lives in Emily in County Tipperary.
All names that I've...
The little town
I'm very
of Emily.
Familiar, the little town
yeah.
of Emily, yes.
And she's married to Hennessy.
Okay.
Mike Hennessy. My brother Billy then, who is my manager, a lot of people would know
impresario.
Billy. Yes. And as he's known as in Banshee, he'll kill me for this, he's called Billy Band.
Billy Band?
Because there's quite a few Billy Morrisseys with all the cousins and everything.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
it's
yes.
a family name. So anyway, Billy now lives in Douala, which is just a couple of miles outside Cashel.
Okay.
And then there's Norman.
I've often listened to him on Tip FM, great broadcaster.
Yeah.
No. He was in the band scene as well.
He was. Norman and Billy were in the band with me.
Yes.
For years in the early days. And they were also the two members with myself. We were the Morrisseys.
Ah, right. Okay.
The folk group, the mm-hmm. Morrisseys. And then there's myself.
Right.
And then there's my baby brother, John.
John.
And John lives in Banshee, and he's postmaster in Cashel.
Oh. Mm. So you didn't spread very far.
We didn't go too far at all.
You go down there, you have now, the kingdom of the Morrisseys down there.
Some of the lads, you know, John lived away in England for a while, and he lived in Drogheda for a while, and my sister Noreen lived in the States for a good many years, and she lived in England for a while, but the rest of us all stayed at home.
Were ye a close family?
We were and are. Yeah.
Good. I liked how you qualified that.
Yeah.
What I meant to say was, growing up...
I know what you mean,
Were you close? Or were you fighting all the time?
Ah, sure, there was the odd old row. You know, sure, what family or what brothers and sisters don't have an odd little snap at each other. But, no, we are a very close family. It's like a United We Stand type family, really.
What was it like growing up in Banshee?
Lovely. It's a lovely little village. It's a lovely place. There's great community spirit. You know, and of course, a lot of my relations live there as well, you know, on both sides.
Cousins everywhere.
Of the family, cousins everywhere. You couldn't say a word about anyone in Banshee because chances are they'd be related. You know,
but many people, like, how big is Banshee?
Well, it stretches, the parish of Banshee stretches from, we'll say, going a little bit towards Golden and Tipperary Town, but it stretches, Banshee and Kilmoiler stretches down almost into Care, within a mile or two of the town of Care.
That's quite
so it's quite a
distance,
big parish, yeah, it is really. Now, oh gosh, how many people, I don't know.
Where did the music come from?
The music has come from both sides of the family, and probably more so from the Morrissey side.
Go on.
Because my father, you know, I mentioned he was a farmer, but he was also a musician. And my father,
what did he play?
He played saxophone and fiddle, and he was a lovely singer.
That's an unusual combination, saxophone and fiddle.
Wasn't it? And he also played the pipes, you know, the bagpipes in the local pipe band.
The bagpipes
in the local pipe band in his day. And he had a lovely singing voice. Now, my mother also has a lovely singing voice, and she plays piano. So, you know, there would be a bit of music on both sides, but it's probably stronger from the Morrissey side of the family.
So when were
because
you
a lot of my Morrissey cousins are musical.
How old were you when you were aware of all this? Was there music in the house a lot? I suppose there would be.
There was, yeah. I mean, really, as long as I can remember, the music was always there. We just grew up with it. It was always a part of life. I remember Dad, when we were very small, you know, he'd take out the fiddle, and sometimes we used to be fit to choke him, you know, because we didn't want to hear this at all. We wanted to be out playing and doing our own thing. But he'd take out the fiddle and he'd play a little tune, and sure, then, you know, he'd encourage us to sing a song or...
Do you play an instrument yourself?
I do. I play guitar myself.
I've seen you with the old guitar,
yeah,
right?
I do, yeah. And, I use it on stage, yes, as part of my act. Now, I attempted to learn the piano years ago, but I hadn't the patience. I suppose, really, I should have learned, or should have started when I was much younger.
Yes.
You know, because I wouldn't have the same patience now to sit down and learn
an instrument. Where did
you go to school, Louise? Well, I went to the Banshee National School, and then I went to St. Anne's Secondary School in Tipperary Town.
What was the plan? What did you want to
do? And I went to St. Albie's Vocational School a while as well.
To be a secretary?
No, I didn't like the other school I was in.
Fair enough. What did you want to be when you were kind of growing up?
Well, I had a few ideas about different things, and the funny thing is music was never one of them.
Ah.
When I was growing up, I never had any notion or plan at all to make music my career.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was always part of my life, and it was like, oh yeah, that's there and it's grand and sure, it'll always be there. But I had ideas to go to art college. I loved art in school. It was my favourite subject, and I loved, you know, I suppose really that was really the only subject I had an interest in. I mean, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong now.
Art as in painting or?
Painting, and pottery, you know, crafts, all that sort of thing.
Do you still keep it up?
I love all that kind of thing.
Do you have an interest in it still?
I do. I love going into shops like that. And I did go for a beginner's pottery class a few years ago. And I made a few little small bits that I'm very proud of.
That is still around.
I have them on display in the house.
Louise, when you left school then, what did you do?
Well, when I left school, I went to be a trainee hairdresser. You know, these were one of my other plans as well. It was art college or to be a hairdresser. And I had notions once upon a time as well about being an air hostess. You know, when you're young, you think, oh, it's lovely.
Why not?
You know, a lovely job and flying all over the world and glamorous and the whole lot. But anyway, I went after school. I decided I got an opportunity to go with a local hairdresser. She had an opening for a trainee.
So yeah.
I went in and I stayed with it for a year and a half. Now, I loved it. I really did. I loved it. But then we got busier and busier with the music. And we were playing at the local pubs at the time.
How did the Morrissey's itself start?
It's hard to pinpoint even how we started, because with the six of us in the family, John being the baby, you know, he was just a few years younger than the rest of us.
Were you all in the band? Or?
No, there was only Billy, Norman and myself.
Self.
We're the three that seemed to be always
okay.
Doing something with music. And my two sisters, Noreen and Marie, they were away in boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would have been involved in music and musicals and drama and all that kind of thing in school, and even after they left school on a local level. But it's, as I said, it's hard to pinpoint when and where we actually started, but we started singing in local concerts, and then you get asked to sing then at a local pub or, you know, that kind of thing. And
yes,
it really kind of started from there, and we were very, very young. I mean, I was only 13, you know, when we actually started playing in pubs.
But can you remember the first time you went out on stage to a substantial audience?
I do. I remember our first official paying gig as the Morrissey's.
Where?
It was in Dundrum, in Osty Crowe's in Dundrum. He had the Golden Vale Ballroom where all the big show bands used to play years ago.
Did you follow the music scene, the Irish music?
Oh, did I loved it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I was always into it.
Who was your kind of influences?
It's hard to say, really, again, with the Irish. I mean, I kind of loved everybody, you know. I just loved all the music and anybody that I could be brought to hear and meet them or anything like that. I just loved it all. But funny, as I got later into my teens, I got this great interest in sort of the American folk scene, and I was into Joan Baez and Judy Collins, yes, and all those female singers, and because they played guitars as well, and, you know, because I was playing guitar, you know, I suppose I was more influenced by them really than anybody else. And then I discovered Amy Lou Harris as well.
Still going strong.
Yeah, and I suppose nowadays my favourite female singer would be Winona Judd, you know, from The Judds, the mother,
yes,
and
yes,
daughter.
Yes.
And again, she was another guitar player, you know, and I always tended to sort of admire, you know, female singers like that.
What age were you in this first gig in the ballroom?
That first gig that we did as the Morrisseys, I was 13.
13?
Yeah.
All ahead of you at that
stage. Yeah, I was 13. Billy was 13. Norman was 15 and Billy was 17.
Superb.
No, is that right? It is.
There, there,
yes, it is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
In terms then of going professional, in terms of making a living out of it, when did that happen?
Well, how that came about was Opportunity Knocks came to Ireland. Remember that series?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And that came to Ireland with Huey Green.
Yes.
And there were talent scouting in Ireland at the time.
Okay.
And we knew it was going on and everything, but we didn't do anything about it. And the next thing was this letter arrived one morning to the house saying that we were called for an audition to go into Limerick to the Savoy.
Okay.
At the time, it's gone now. And we were to go into the Savoy in Limerick for an audition. And of course, there was a row straight away in the house. Who sent that in? I'm not going. Well, I'm not going either. And the row started, but we discovered that it was our eldest sister, Noreen, actually wrote in and put in our names for it. And we decided anyway, sure, look, we'll go along for the crack, and off we went. And then there was another row before we went out to sing the song for the audition, because we didn't know what we were going to sing.
What did you say?
We were totally unprepared. We sang a song called Farewell to Carlingford.
Okay.
And that went on to become our first single as the Morrisseys as well. But anyway, we got through to all the heats along the way, and we got through to the actual final of Opportunity Knocks. So
In Ireland.
In Ireland, and it all started from there. And through that, we were introduced to Donny Cassidy of CMR Records. You know, Donny.
Well, I tell you what we need to do. It's wonderful to get the story, but I need to play a piece of music. What are we going to play?
A song that I have recently recorded, which is one of my favourites. It's called Connemara Marble Ring.
That is a wonderful song. Who had a hit with that? Caitlin recently, I think.
She recorded it, a few years ago, and I loved it when I heard it, and I love the story. I mean, it's sad, it's sentimental, you know.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's lovely.
Okay, well, here you have Life and Times of Midlands 103, and this evening's programme on conversation with Tipperary's Louise Morrissey. Here we have My Connemara Marble Ring. You're very welcome back to our Life and Times programme here at Midlands 103. And in this evening's programme, we're in conversation with Louise Morrissey. Beautiful version.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Where did you record that?
My album was done in Headford, in Tony Maher's studio in Headford. Tony Maher and Frankie Coulihan.
Yes.
From The Conquerors.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been producing most of my songs albums for years.
What number is this now?
This is album number 12.
Number 12.
Yeah.
Would you be afraid of doing the next one?
Not at all.
Are you doing two at the same time?
I've been looking forward to it already.
what's the album called again?
It's called You Raise Me Up.
You Raise Me Up.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, you were introduced to Donny Cassidy after CMR Records.
Yeah, that all came about, you know, through Opportunity Knocks and all that. And really, that's how we got into the music professionally. Then we recorded our first single and our first album and the whole lot. And it really all started
from
there.
Did you like the lifestyle?
I did. I mean, it was great fun at the time, you know, when you're young and all this travelling and all that. But I suppose as well, you miss out on certain things too with your friends and nights out and all of that. But at the time, I didn't mind, you know, because it was good fun and it was exciting.
Opportunity Knocks was your first performance on television, but you're no stranger to performing on TV. I mean, you've been doing it now for years.
Well, thanks be to God, I suppose. I've been lucky, you know, and they've been good to me over the years. You know, I've had opportunities to be on many of the Irish television shows and have appeared.
Well, in fairness, you've always delivered.
On one or two. Well, thanks very much.
Well, you have.
Sure. Try my best anyway. But, you know, one or two of them in England as well. And it's great, sure. I mean, it's a great help, and I mean, as is radio as well. I mean, it's without the radio and without the TV, we'd be all at home.
The Morrisseys themselves then went on to great success after that. I mean, you were certainly one of the top acts in the country, and you were making a good living on it.
Thanks be to God, yeah.
Yes.
We did fine on it, and we worked hard, though, you know. I mean, God, I remember doing stints there years ago, and you could be out there for 30 nights on the trot and maybe have one or two nights off and then off again. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't do it now.
But at the time, was there pressure, or was that pressure on, you know, to keep performing?
No, there was no pressure at all, but it was just, I suppose, we were in a, I don't know, what do they say, automatic pilot, is that what it was? But no, we just kept going. See, we were all young. I'm not saying we're not young now, but we were very young, you know what I mean?
You're looking well on it
well,
anyway.
But
if you're out for 30 nights on the trot,
yeah,
and, like, you know, it's a different hall. It could be in any town, in any place in Ireland.
Oh, you could be in north, south, east or west.
And how did you get on with the travelling?
The travelling is tough. And, like, that's the downside of the music business, is the travelling, no matter what end of the music you're in. I mean, if you have to travel and, you know, long journeys, late nights and coming home late at night, because I always love to come home. I very rarely stay out. And I've always been like that. I'm a real home bird. I love coming home to my own house.
Well, you're fairly central, but I know at the time the roads wouldn't have been as good, even the band vans wouldn't have been the greatest at times.
And in the early days when we started out, I used to travel in the van with the boys as well, you know, with all the bands.
Yes.
But, I mean, for, I suppose, nearly 20 years now, I would have been driving, you know, to the gigs myself, and I'd have help, of course, you know. I wouldn't be doing it all on my own either.
But was there ever time, Louise, you know, when you get up on stage, because, I mean, we forget about the fact that you're travelling, we forget about the fact that, you know, you've rehearsals and all this, and there's so much goes on behind the scenes for this 2-hour show that's out there, and regardless of how you feel, you still have to deliver. If you're if you've a cold, if you're you know, if you're feeling fluey, whatever, you have to get up, you have to smile, the show must go on.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel sometimes, I don't want to do this?
Yeah, I suppose everybody has felt like that a few times. And like you said, there are, you know, nights when you're not feeling well and you have a bit of a flu and a bit of a sore throat, or you might be just really very tired because you've been out a couple of nights before, you know, and travelling and all that. But again, I mean, you could feel, you know, I've often felt that way, maybe getting into the car at home and heading off on my journey to go wherever I'd be working that night. I said, oh God, I'd love to be off tonight.
Well, you're living what is, in a sense, a nocturnal existence. Like, you're a night person. And
well, that's it, you know. But I mean, once I get on the road, though, I'd be fine. And once I get to the venue, I'm fine. And meet all the lads in the band, sure, you'd be fine. You'd forget about being tired or anything. And I'd always remember, too, like, that the people that are coming to the show, like, they've made their arrangements that day.
Yes.
They've organised their babysitters, or maybe the women getting their hair done, or planning what they're going to wear, and, you know, that kind of thing. And they deserve a show. If they come out to the show, whether it is a good crowd, a small crowd, you know, or a big crowd, the show goes on.
You
do your best.
You've performed at this stage all over the world.
Yeah, I've got the chance to visit a lot of places.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, like, I mean, you've performed in the States, you've performed in Europe, you've performed in Asia, have you?
I have, yeah.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
What's your favourite?
I suppose, well, I'd have to say Ireland is my favourite.
Diplomatically, but you've been down in Australia?
I was in Australia as well. I've had two trips to Australia, and please God, all going well, maybe next year or the year after, you know. It's in the pipeline anyway, but just to...
But Louise Morrissey, you know, sitting here talking on local radio here in the Midlands, talking to me, but you've sang beside some of the greats.
Yeah, I've met some great people along the way. It was fantastic, you know, because again, when I started out in the business, I never thought that I'd ever get the chance to tour with, you know, Charlie Pride. I did a UK tour with him years ago. We did a month around England.
But you ever feel like, you know, Louise Morrissey from Banjas standing beside the same stage of Charlie Pride? I mean, you know, that's phenomenal.
Well, it was.
Are you starstruck at all?
No.
Okay, that's a good answer. Was he nervous seeing him beside you?
No, I mean, I admired him, and I'd be thrilled, you know, to be there with him and everything. But I'm an easygoing person, you see, as well. You know, I'm just very easygoing. And funny, the family would always say that at home, that I just kind of take things in my stride, you see, as well.
Well, I mean, that's probably a testament to your confidence.
In this business.
It must be. Well, in fairness, like, I mean, have you gone up and had to be brilliant to, you know, a very tiny audience for some reason or whatever,
well,
as well as a big
national
audience?
Well, you would, because, you know, it's like, again, the people that are coming out to the show, they're there, they've turned up, they're there, and even if it is a small crowd, they deserve a show and the best that you can deliver.
Well, you come across as an extremely confident woman. I mean, you can see that. Like, you are very laid back and very confident, which is nice to see, and it's good for it. You know, it makes me more relaxed when I'm talking to you. Do you ever forget the words of a song?
Oh God, I did often. Oh, I did. Funny thing is, like, if you're playing at a dance, sometimes now I've mumbled a few words, you know, and I've made up a few along the way as well. And a few times I've had to look at the boys in the band with a blank face for help. And I get a blank face back from them in
the
return.
All the help in the world, yeah.
You know,
that
you think, oh God, aren't you listening to it every night when you know the words? So they mightn't be able to help me out. And usually what ends up happening to me is I get a few giggles. I'm terrible for giggling on stage.
Are you?
Yeah, and I remember a man coming up to me one night at the end of a dance, and he says, "You're a great girl for the giggles," he said, because the least little thing could set me off, you know. And anyway, that has happened, but I'll never forget years ago when I didn't die on the spot. There and then, it was a live television show, and it was from the Olympia in Dublin. Do you remember that?
Yes, live show? At the Olympia.
Brendan Grace used to host the show.
Yes.
And I was doing a song from a new album that was out at the time, and I wasn't used to singing the song. You know, that's why Evermore. I said, I'll sing what I'm comfortable with and what I know best. You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, I was introduced, and it was going out live on television. And I walked out anyway with the microphone smiling away. And I thought, oh my God, I can't remember the first line of the song.
Oh no.
And I nearly got 25 heart attacks on the spot.
I can imagine.
I thought,
what am I going to do?
And I said every prayer as fast as I could in my mind. Please let me remember the first line of the song. And just at the last second, it came to me. But I was so nervous then singing that song for the rest of it, because every line, I was trying to think ahead then, and that's the worst thing you could do, because you try and jump ahead in your mind while you're singing one line to remember. And I was kind of trying to pray and sing at the same time. But I got through it, and it was like, I'll never forget.
You're mostly probably associated with country.
Mostly.
Would you describe yourself as a country singer, or would you describe yourself as a folk singer, or is it?
I suppose the best description I give myself would be a country and Irish singer, because my program would be half and half, really, half country, half Irish. And when I'm doing a concert, I'll sing the Irish ballads as well, and I'll make sure to include a lot of Irish ballads.
I saw you on television one time singing Slieve na Mann out in the middle of Crow Park.
The Tipperary anthem.
I'm married to a Tipperary woman.
You know what it's like, so.
I did have a bit of enjoyment there a few weeks ago when Cork kind of sent him down the back door. Anyway, I'm glad there's a desk between us. Did you find that intimidating?
What, singing?
Going out into Crow Park and singing.
That was the most fantastic experience.
Was it?
It really was. It was just brilliant. The atmosphere. I had never been to Crow Park, you know, before that. That was back in 1988.
Yes.
Against Tipperary and Galway. Or between Tipperary and Galway, I should say. And I went out anyway. We had a rehearsal a few days beforehand up in Croke Park, you know, walking out and with the Artane Boys band and everything. Now, it was a mixture of nervous and excitement and pride. I was proud.
Well, I can imagine.
You know, to be there for Tipperary as well.
I know I'm a Corkman, but I can only just say that when you went out and you sang that song, I was kind of half an adopted Tip band that time. It's a beautiful song. You did a fantastic version of it.
I was proud to be there.
Speaking of songs, can we have another one?
I'll tell you, I'm going to pick another song from a new album.
We'll do your new album. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
If that's okay. And I'll tell you, the reason I'm choosing this song, it's called My Father's Love.
Tell us about it.
And this song came from Australia. It was sent over last year from Sony Records in Australia, who we'd be associated with over there. And they sent me this song to see if I'd like it, and I loved it. And the song reminds me of my own father.
You can't have a better testament than that. It's Life and Times in Midlands 103. Here is My Father's Love. It's Louise Morrissey on Life and Times.
He was born on the brink of the Second World War in a house on the old Lisburn Road. He was the youngest of six.
You're very welcome back to our Life and Times programme. This week it's Louise Morrissey. Another fine and beautiful song. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Does it take you long to record one? Are you a one-take person? Are you?
It depends on the humour on the day. You know, one or two songs could be done in maybe just one or two takes.
Okay.
And then more of the songs, you'd spend more time with them. You might have to drop in a few things and repair.
But is Frankie and Tony are producing, are they?
They are producing and arranging. Oh, they are, yeah. But they have to be too, yeah. You know, because, you know, you get good results.
You do.
And,
okay.
And they're great to work with. I absolutely love working with them.
It's interesting enough, as a professional musician, and we've seen a dramatic change in the way music is consumed. Mm-hmm. And we've now seen that the traditional record store is being consigned almost back into the side street where they were years ago.
Yeah.
Because people are buying it online and so forth. Yeah. Has that kind of technology made any difference to you?
Not really, no. Nothing major that I have noticed.
Like, are your albums still... Are they available downloading as well as everything else? Or?
I'm not so sure. No, I don't think they're available for downloading.
Right.
No, unless they are without my knowledge now.
Yeah,
they could be. And I know, obviously, you'll have situations where a friend will buy the CD and three or four friends will burn a copy.
That's fine,
and,
in terms of being a professional musician, at the end of the day, this is your livelihood.
Yeah.
And record sales have diminished because, you know, the outlets for record sales aren't as plentiful as they were.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I mean, the albums are available in the big stores. I mean, the HMVs and, you know, all those major places.
Golden Disc.
I mean, they have their Irish section and all the Irish artists are available. But as well as that, all the Irish artists, myself included, we all carry our stock
to
the gigs.
So at the end of a gig.
Yeah, and people buy all the time.
Because it is pretty important to, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you may only be doing, how many gigs a week would you average now?
It just varies from week to week. I've kind of changed things around in the last year where, you know, before I would have worked like most people, you'd be working every weekend, but I've changed things a bit now where I might do like so many gigs and then I'll take 2 weeks off.
Yes.
And then I'll go again and I'll work a few gigs and then I'll have my couple of weeks off again. And I prefer to work that way.
If you were to describe it, when was the peak time for the Morrisseys? Or because you're more known now as a solo artist.
Yeah. Well, you see, I started as a solo artist just literally over 21 years ago. Mm. And that's why I've been kind of celebrating my 21 years in country music. Well, I said, I'll never get the chance to be 21.
You're wearing well on it now, I have to tell you that.
Thanks very much. But, I mean, I've been sort of touring recently with the show Louise Morrissey and Friends, 21 years in country music, and my friends and guests on the show are John Hogan and Larry Cunningham. And
Larry, we had Larry on the programme a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I was here with John about
about 2 months ago. Yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
You know, the shows were great. They're all concerts and they're great. And I've also been touring recently as well with the Irish Queens of Country. And that's been a great success as well. And we're looking forward to putting these shows back together in the autumn again. You know, and in the meantime, still doing a few dances as well.
Does it go down in the summer, or, you know, or is it a different kind of gigs during the summer? Or?
Well, what I find is in the summertime, I could end up maybe playing venues that I wouldn't play in the wintertime. You know, the way maybe some hotel will start running a few dances for the summer if there's a few holiday makers around and that kind of thing. So I end up doing those sort of gigs for the summer, you know. But overall, if you start at the beginning of the year and right to the end of the year, it still sort of balances out the same, you know, the amount of gigs you'll do, whether you do them all in a bunch and have loads of time off or whatever, you know, or kind of spread them out, it still balances out the same at the end of the year.
You got married recently.
I did. I got married in September.
Some people say you were fussy and took your time. Who did you marry?
Well, you see, I wouldn't get married till I met the right man.
I hate that. Go on. And who's the right man?
His name is John. Johnny, everybody calls him Johnny. Johnny Fitzgerald.
And where's Johnny from?
He's from New Inn, which is only 7 miles from my home place.
You didn't go far. Where did you meet him?
I met him locally in Tipperary, just on a local night out. I was introduced to him.
And who saw who first?
We kind of saw each other at the same time.
Diplomatic answer.
No, some of my
who
friends
asked who for the first date?
Knew him. He asked me, of course. I wouldn't ask him.
Where was the first date?
Our first date, he took me out for dinner.
At where?
You're very nosy,
I'm just asking the question. When you slipped that ring, or when he slipped that ring in your finger in September, he broke a lot of men's hearts across the country.
God, I don't know about that.
So where did he take you? I just think that if I ever decide to take out a superstar, I want to know where to go. Where did he take you?
He took me out. He called for me. We went out to a local hotel for dinner. And we had a lovely night. We had a great night.
I'm getting a dirty look here. We very quickly.
No, but that was it. We've been inseparable ever since.
And you're thanks still you're living much. Down in that direction.
Yeah,
staying firmly in Tipperary.
Well, Johnny's a farmer, and I'm sort of sticking with the farming.
Do you get out with your willies yourself?
Not really.
Could
no,
you milk
no.
a cow like if you were oppressed?
If I had to, I would.
Could you?
Yeah, I mean,
could you tend a few turnips
when we were young? I did that too when I was young. Believe it or not, when we picked potatoes. We did all sorts of. I know. I mean, if we were called in when we were kids to help out, we
sorry,
did
I'm just going
to
turn off the air.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's what I'm leaning across to. Just if you heard that noise in the background, Louise. I mean, you've had and still are having a great career. Where does the future hold for you?
Thanks be to God. Well, I know people say you should set goals for yourself. You know,
what's
in life.
Your goal?
And I mean, I'm at a stage now where you know. I mean, thank God, I'm at a great place in my life. I'm very happy. I'm enjoying the music, and I've also sort of worked out I've sort of balanced the scales a bit with my music so that I have plenty of time at home, which is very important, you know,
yes.
Because, you know, you can't be gone. And I don't want to be gone all the time either. You know, I'm just at that stage now. And, I want to do more concerts. You know, I want to see myself moving more in that direction, and I have been sort of working on that as well with my manager.
Billy's your manager.
Billy's my manager.
You're still keeping in the
family
business.
And with the record company as well, you know what I mean? We've been talking about it, and that's the direction I want to go, and that's the direction I would be happiest in. It would be almost like going back to my roots, because we started out in the cabaret concert scene.
Do you write?
No.
Is that something you want to do?
I'd like to try it out. Now, I've tried it, but I couldn't put two words together. I could put an air of a song together, but if I was to be there forever, I couldn't.
And would you
put
not?
The words, I'd be hopeless in that department. But I suppose, really, I should hook up with maybe another songwriter
that's
and
how
try
Simon
it.
And Garfunkel and a few others like those got together.
Aim high, that's what they say.
In terms of putting your music together, putting a show together, do you travel with the same band all the time? Or
Yeah, I have a great band.
Who are they?
They're all from Northern Ireland and Donegal. I have four guys. They're four best friends, and they've been working together for a long time themselves, which is a great bonus as well.
It's
for
an incredible
the band.
Standard of musician. Like, in fairness, in the Irish music scene, it's very high anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the north of Ireland seems to have amazing musicians.
Yeah, it's
doesn't it?
Full of them. Of fantastic musicians.
Mm.
And I think maybe a lot of the young guys up there when they're learning music, they seem to be more into the country music scene than young lads down here if they're learning to play guitar or piano or drums or whatever.
You would have been coming really into the music scene at the time, just as live music was kind of, the venues were being replaced by discos or maybe just slightly after that.
Yeah.
Is the live music coming back a little bit, or is it still?
Well, thank God it's always been there, you know, because I mean, you know, I've been working away for years, but it has its ups and downs though.
Well,
you've been
years. Working at a fairly high level, and you do enjoy, you know, a fair bit of popularity. You know, other bands probably wouldn't be as lucky in terms of having, I mean, you're saying what, 20, 21 years now on your own,
the Morrisseys
before
music,
that.
Yeah.
That's
that
is amazing.
Yeah.
Most bands don't have that longevity. You're very fortunate.
Well,
But in terms of venues, you must have seen tremendous changes in the venues that are available out there.
Oh, God, I have. I mean, venues that we played in years ago, a lot of them are gone. They're closed down. There's, you know, the dances or whatever, they just sort of died off. The crowds died off. And but I think that seems to be something that happens every so many years. It's like a circle, you know. And it's not the band's fault. It's no one's fault. It just kind of changes, And something else becomes popular for a while, and then it kind of the wheel turns another bit, and it all comes back again.
If you're looking into the future, I mean, you're a young woman, but could you see you doing this for the rest of your life and still keeping up this kind of high level of activity?
I'd like to think that I could stay doing this even in 20 years down the road, because I think that there's no age limit. If you're working in a concert scene or that sort of concert stroke cabaret, you know, scene, there isn't an age limit. And I think, now maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I think maybe there is a bit of an age limit in the dancing scene for women.
Is there?
Yeah, I think you've got a different audience. Mm. A different audience comes into a dance, and the people who love dancing, they won't go to a concert, and vice versa. The concert people won't go to a dance. And I've seen that, like, you play in a dance and everybody there, you wouldn't see one of them at the concert, and vice versa. And now, as I said, maybe I'm wrong in saying that, you know.
I mean, you're standing up there looking down at him, so if you don't know, I don't think anybody would.
But I think maybe for the female side of it, now I'm kind of speaking for the females, but I think, you know, that there is.
If you're going out for a night out, who would you go to?
Who would I go to?
Yeah.
Well, again, so like I told you, I love everybody. Do you know what I mean? I just love music. And whether it is... Now, I love to go and see bands, but I love to go and see a different type of music as well. You know, if I have a night off, I won't always go to a country band. I could go to see a folk group. There might be a trad session on in a pub somewhere. Or go to where there's no music at all.
Okay.
And steer clear of it.
You're up on stage. You're playing away in the band. You look down and there's one of your peers after arriving in. Does that make you nervous? Jimmy Buckley has just arrived. Probably a good friend of yours anyway.
Oh, yeah, sure. God, we know each other forever. Yeah. And, I mean, all the bands tend to do that. Like, say, I'm sure I'd be thrilled if I saw him. Jimmy or Robert Mazzell or Mike Denver or any of the lads, you know, or Philomena Begley, anybody coming into a gig, I'd only be thrilled and sure I'd have them brought up for a song. And they do the same. You know, anytime I've ever gone to see any of them, you're hauled up onto the stage.
Are you a good dancer?
And you're trying to give them signals. Don't call me up to sing. I'm after having a couple of drinks.
Are you a good dancer?
I'm able to dance, but I suppose I'm a bit lazy.
Oh, go ahead.
I love to sit down and just listen.
Louise, I'm going to ask you one question before we finish up, and thank you so much for... Actually, I have two questions to ask you. Okay. You get to pick another piece of music to finish off the programme, but what do you do behind it all to relax?
What do I do?
Yeah, what do you do? What's the one thing that you love doing to chill out and relax?
Okay. I love getting together with my friends. I love nice meal out, or I love to cook at home at the house, or go to somebody's house for dinner. Nice bottle of wine, good chat and good company.
Staying with the new album.
Yeah.
What are we going to play?
Okay. Love Me Tonight.
Louise Morrissey, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the past hour with us. We've enjoyed the chat, we've enjoyed the music, and we're looking forward to hearing another track from your new album. This from the new album is Love Me Tonight. Life and Times of Louise Morrissey. We look forward to part two in the not-too-distant future.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Albert, and it's been a pleasure being here with you.